Welcome to Press This, the WordPress community podcast featuring exclusive content and interviews with leaders in the WordPress community, covering everything from development to integrating your digital marketing strategy with WordPress. Join host David Vogelpohl of WP Engine and special guests from across the community as they keep you up to speed on the latest advancements in WordPress. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on WMR. This is your host, David Vogelpohl. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine, and I love to bring the best of the community to you here every week on Press This. As a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at WPDavidV, and you can subscribe to Press This on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or download the latest episodes at WMR.fm. In this episode, we're going to be talking about creating scalable, bulletproof design systems using things like Gutenberg blocks, ACF, and PHP templates. And joining us for that conversation from a company called Airfleet, I'd like to first welcome Mr. Nuno Freitas from Airfleet. Nuno, welcome.
Hi, I'm Nuno, the CTO of Airfleet, and I'm happy to be here.
So glad to have you. And also joining us is Elad Hefetz. And I'm doing my best to pronounce your last name there, Elad. But welcome to Press This.
Thanks, David. Super excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, with a last name like Vogelpohl, Elad, I hope you understand my attempt to pronounce it correctly. So thank you for that. But for those listening, in this episode of Press This, what we're going to be talking to Nuno and Elad about is their thoughts on creating systems with scalable and as they put it, bulletproof design, and how they do that through the technologies of Gutenberg blocks, ACF, PHP templates, and really fundamentally to set up this scalable system for themselves and the clients they built for. So really excited to cover these topics today. So I guess I'll start off with the first question I ask all my guests, and I'll start with you, Nuno. Could you briefly tell me your WordPress origin story?
Yeah, so me personally, I started doing WordPress around 2015. So I was doing freelance work at the time. I was picking up small tasks and small projects here and there. And I kept noticing there was a lot of demand for WordPress work. I was working with web development, but I didn't have any experience with WordPress, but I had some experience with PHP, so it was easy to pick up. So I naturally started doing more and more WordPress work until eventually I was doing full website builds.
Excellent. Well, that's a very similar, somewhat similar, I guess, to some other origin stories we heard recently. But it sounds like you were already doing some freelance work, but WordPress was just kind of the demand that was coming through the door most often. Does that sound about right, Nuno?
Yeah, that sounds about right. So it kept popping up, and eventually I thought, okay, I should look a bit into this. And I started with small tasks, and eventually I was doing more complex work.
All right, good deal. Elad, how about you? When was the first time you used WordPress?
That's a good question. I think in general, website development for me goes all the way to GeoCities by Yahoo. I think I created my first website when I was like 12 or something like that with analog internet. But my actual experience with WordPress started here at Airfleet, when just trying to help marketers create better website for their customers. And then, WordPress is basically the most used platform for marketing website or in general websites across the board. So that was when I started working with WordPress.
Excellent. Well, good to hear it. I too built some GeoCities sites a lot, so I can join you in that memory. But good to hear about your first time as well. My next question, and either one of you can answer, I guess, whichever one you feel is most appropriate, but like, could you tell us a little bit about what Airfleet does? What is Airfleet?
Yeah, sure. So the way I see it, Airfleet is a tech marketing partner for tech B2B marketers. We work directly with marketers of anything technology related. This can be website development, marketing automation, landing pages, conversion rate optimization, SEO, and other stuff. And, the way I see what we are doing here is basically allowing marketers to work better and more scalable using technologies, because there are so many technologies out there but rarely you can find marketers that can actually utilize them because they don't see the tech aspect of those platforms and tools. And this is where Airfleet comes in.
That's interesting. So Airfleet specifically focuses on supporting companies that are in the B2B focus. Did I hear that right a lot?
Yep. Especially even I would say like hyper growth companies. Here in Israel, we are there's a tech boom or tech industry. So a lot of cybersecurity, enterprise software, and those B2B marketers, they need help with their technology stack for the marketing department.
Gotcha. So they're trying to perhaps drive transactions through the website, certainly drive things like leads. And so through your effectively agency work, you're able to support them in that, but also in a way that allows marketers to take action. Not every campaign have to be tied to development and engineering. Is that like from the high level about what you mean by empowerment on the technology side?
Yep, that's 100% correct. The way we see it is that, you know, if the goal of a website is lead generation, so we need to see the end-to-end funnel of their customers and then understand how can we harness the tech aspect, be it the website development or like the marketing automation or different integrations in order to do it. It includes stuff like SEO. So product-led SEO is something that we use technology to do, but the strategy behind that is pure marketing.
I understand. Okay. So then like, as we kind of thought about the show and what we had talked about, you kind of had mentioned this concept of scalable and bulletproof design. So I'm just curious, like, what does that mean? Like, I was kind of categorizing it a little bit to say like, okay, scalable means that the marketers can use it, but I'm kind of maybe putting words in your mouth, but What do you think that phrase means, scalable bulletproof design? And then what are the benefits that you think that delivers?
So the way I see it, we need to have a good foundation if we're going to have a website that will grow and be maintained for years. Even if we're just talking 1 or 2 years, that's still a long time in terms of web development. So technology will change a lot during that time and we need to be able to adapt during that period. So that means having the right infrastructure and architecture from the start that can grow without our demands is very important. So it means having automations and monitoring in place. So the automations will save us time with repetitive tests and give us some consistency. So for example, with continuous integrations, we are linting and building the project on each change that we push to the repository. Checking for potential issues and evaluating the code quality. And we make sure to peer review all changes before being merged. And with the continuous delivery, we automate the deployment from the start. So we have automated deployments as soon as we merge the code. And the monitoring allows us to be proactive and catch problems as early as possible. But being scalable also means the source code architecture must be solid. So I'd say most of our work is for the front end. And so it's very important to have a consistent and well-defined style guide from the start. So we can reuse the same design language across the website and be able to reuse the same kind of design components. And at the same time, making sure the performance is not affected as we grow the website and add more features. And in terms of content, it means if we're going to build a website that will have thousands of different content items, the content structure is very important because it will influence how we edit the website, how the editors and admins maintain the website, and also how the developers view the website that they are building. So for example, let's say we have a form and that form is repeated in 100 pages. We want to make sure that we only need to edit the form once for it to be updated everywhere. So what ends up happening is if we have a bad foundation, we end up spending most of our time fixing issues and it's hard to make progress. But when we have a good foundation, the pace of change of any new features will be high.
So it sounds like the notion of scalable means more than just the code. You can mention that like, hey, look, you're spending a lot of time, of course, to make sure that it can scale, presumably to lots of traffic, of course, is performant. but you're also thinking about it from the kind of system or foundation perspective, kind of setting you up for the future. So as you continue to iterate, you can leverage that foundation to scale new iterations. And I know, like, obviously the title of the episode again mentions blocks and ACF and PHP templates. And so obviously this is starting to invoke the content creation side, which you just kind of alluded to there at the end. So I'm curious, you know, how you go about that in terms of enabling your clients. But we're going to take our first break and we'll be right back.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Press This, the WordPress Community Podcast on WMR. This is your host, David Volopol. We're in the middle of our episode talking about creating scalable bulletproof design systems. Right before the break, we were talking a little bit about this notion of scalable bulletproof design and what does it mean. And Nuno and Elad, you were talking about how it kind of covers the full spectrum in a way of creating designs and ultimately creating the site, all the way from CI/CD and how you QA, how you code those experiences and the foundation it lays out. But I'm just kind of curious from the build perspective, you've talked a few times about how your the marketers that work for your clients can leverage the sites you build to drive growth. I'm just curious, like, what are the options you think builders or developers have when trying to build for this benefit with their clients? Like, what are the different things that you considered or even you use there?
I'll let Nuno answer the technical aspect of that. I think that the way we look at the website is more of a product for the marketing team or for the content editor to use versus just a website. And you know, this comes all the way from how we get design to be implemented in a way that will be scalable. But then the question is how to do it so it's easy to edit and how to do it so it's relatively intuitive for anyone using the WordPress backend to edit and still getting the website to look like the design intention and not different and non-consistent across the board. And this is where actually Nuno came up with this concept and how we are creating website, you know, template.
Can I ask you a question on that from like the business perspective? And I like have my own, I guess, response when I hear this kind of question to this, but like you often hear people say like, why would I help my clients make their own web pages? Cause I can charge them to do that. I'm just curious from the business perspective, why is it important for you to enable your clients in this way?
That's a great question. And you know, I often hear customers saying like, we need you to create something that we can edit. And I'm saying, this is exactly what we are here for. We are trying to make a product where you actually don't need us to create new pages. That's the whole idea. Our business model is actually about bringing more and more value for our customers and trying to do more, I wouldn't say complicated, but elaborated initiative, including a lot of different integrations and customized project, and not just a standout, I would say, new pages and new development. So this is at the basic, we are trying to create a product to streamline content creation and new pages and increasing the website, while we can work then on interesting projects such as integrating with the customer product in order to get more information toward the website, to gain more SEO, for example, or to provide a much better experience. This is where we can really use our development expertise and technical expertise to really bring value for the marketers.
I really like that concept of creating a product for the marketing team. And you've kind of used that creating a product thing several times, and it really resonates. It does make sense. I really like how you pointed out, hey, look, what we're going to do with our time instead of cranking out every single web page on your site is we're going to use it to drive kind of more value in terms of like unique projects or other projects where your development work can shine. And I think that's so critical with thinking about the strategy of enabling those marketers with content creation is, I guess it takes some work off your plate, but what it leaves room for is the more strategic work, which it sounds like you all have really leaned into, which I think is pretty cool. Nuno, from the technical side, obviously there's a lot of paths there. So help me understand, like, what did y'all consider when it came to building sites in this way for your clients? Like the technology side, was it page builders? Like, did you immediately go to the block editor? Did it evolve over time? Like, how did you consider the technology choices there?
Yeah, it was something that evolved over time. So in the past, we used the static page templates. And by static page templates, I mean page templates coupled with custom fields. And the static part is because once you choose a specific page template for a page, the page structure is fixed and you cannot change the order of the content or what appears there. Then we evolved into a dynamic sections approach, which basically means you can choose which sections of content that you're going to add to a page, and you can order them as you like or repeat the same section multiple times within the same page. And this worked for us, but it had one disadvantage, is that you're not previewing in real time the changes that you're making. So you're just working with the content. So another approach is using a page builder, where you find the page builder that you like, and the page builder comes with a large set of components and you can edit the page visually. But that had a couple of downsides for us. And the way we do it now is using the WordPress editor, so Gutenberg, and we create blocks in combination with custom fields. So this still allows the editors to preview in real time while they're making changes, but we still retain the control over what's rendered on the front end, and now we can structure the website.
So there are a lot of, like, obviously really good page builders out there, and some I really like actually a lot, but I'm just curious, like, what was the draw of leveraging the block editor versus a page builder plugin? And you don't have to necessarily mention any by name. I'm just curious, like, what were the considerations there for you?
Yeah, so I think page builders work great in a certain context, so that they have their place and they have evolved a lot over the years. And I'll be honest, I haven't worked with the page builder in quite some time, but I always found they were difficult to scale. So to reuse certain custom designs and features in a large website, and many times it was difficult to extend the built-in components or add new ones. They can generate an HTML structure that's not ideal. And the design for us is very important. We'd like to have a pixel perfect design. And also in terms of recruiting developers, you end up either searching for developers that already have experience with a particular page builder, or you have to train them. So it's a bit of a drawback. But the WordPress editor is also a visual editor. So in essence, it has many similarities to a page builder, although it's more simplified. It doesn't have as many of the advanced features. But the advantage is that it's native WordPress and it's well supported. And it's very easy to get started, especially if you have a tool such as ACF or similar, so that you can quickly create a new block, but still retain full control over the HTML and CSS and JavaScript that's rendered on the page, while still having some control over the editing experience.
So it sounds like, go ahead.
No, I think that across the board, what we did see, and again, not mentioning specific page builders, but what we notice is that code becomes a bit more bloated and a bit more heavy in terms of performance and speed load. And now that everyone is talking about, you know, Google Page Speed Insights or, you know, the web experience by Google, this really affects the outcome. And couple that with the type of designs that we are trying to achieve and the type of animations that we are trying to do for our customers. So using page builders basically beats the point. Because we can't really get to the final expected final results while still maintaining all of the speed performance and making it fully editable for our customers.
Those are really good insights. So it sounds like, just listening to how both of you described it, it sounded like control was a big part of it. You talked about, you know, wanting to deliver specific kinds of experiences and make sure it's pixel perfect. And of course, I guess the flexibility of enabling you to kind of do what you want to do. when you're building out experiences for your clients. You also talked about performance quite a bit. And, you know, I know certain page builders are known for less performance, I suppose, but because you're controlling everything, you can kind of make those trade-off decisions on your own as you're creating these experiences for your clients. That also stood out to me. And I think the other thing that was interesting that I had never really considered very much is the recruiting and hiring part, and how with the block editor being, of course, within WordPress core, it would be more likely for you to find a developer with, you know, familiarity with the skill sets necessary, if not direct skill sets necessary, to work within it versus, say, working with a third-party page builder, which they may or may not have had experience with. I thought that was a really insightful point I had not really thought about before when considering the type of page building experience you're creating for your clients. Very insightful. Thank you all for that. I do want to kind of shift gears a little bit and kind of understand your approach with some more specificity, but we're going to take our last break and we'll be right back.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Press This, the WordPress Community Podcast on WMR. We're in the middle of interviewing Nuno and Elad of Airfleet about creating scalable, bulletproof design systems. Right before the break, Elad and Nuno, you were explaining a little bit about your kind of decision process that led you to lean into the block editor for your primary building experience that you create for your clients. And I thought your reasoning behind that was very sound. So I'm kind of curious though, when it comes to the block editor and we think about a build strategy there, I'm just curious, are you like leveraging a library of blocks? Are you making custom blocks for each client? Do you have your own library you made? Do you use off the shelf? Like, help me understand, like, within the block editor itself, what is your approach for creating blocks that are helpful for your clients, styling, core blocks, those kind of things? Help me understand how you approach that.
Yeah, so we don't usually use any of the core WordPress blocks. They're useful for blog posts, so they can be used within that context. But for page building, we rather create custom blocks. So we have a starter theme that we have developed internally over the years. It has a lot of built-in features, but they're mostly structural features. So there are conventions and things that allows us to bootstrap WordPress features fast. So for example, to create a new block, we can create a PHP template file in a specific folder and the block will get registered automatically. And then we can add the custom fields in the admin with ACF. Although the theme does also come with a lot of different components and blocks, they're mostly the core stuff that gets repeated for all websites. So these are the buttons and the forms, the models and the images, but these things lack design. So we add that part later for each client. So most of the block work, the section work, is still custom and unique for each client, but it helps to have some common glue to connect everything together. And we also use what we call building blocks, which are basically pre-built blocks that serve as a starting point for new blocks. So we don't use these blocks directly, but they contain all of the most commonly used components, since you always end up using the same set of a combination of a set of components when you're building a new block. This can be a background, a title, an image, and a form. So when we start a new block, it's easier to clone one of these building blocks and then remove the components that we don't need. And of course, we still need to add the HTML layout and the styles and scripts. But it's a bit faster to start this way rather than with an empty block and manually adding the components afterwards. You also have to add the custom fields, etc. And also what we include in our approach since recently is using generators. So these are scaffolding tools to generate new blocks and components within our team. So since you always end up creating the same files with the same a common boilerplate, for example, a block usually has a template and a style sheet and a script dedicated to it. So we can use a command line tool and answer a few questions quickly, and it will generate the necessary files and place them in the correct folders. So that saves a couple of minutes per block or component.
Are you using any tools to help build the custom blocks, or are you building the custom blocks? You know, I know you're kind of a starting point, but like fundamentally from scratch, are you using things like ACF blocks or Genesis custom blocks, create Guten block, any tools to help you create them?
No, everything is mostly developed in-house. We use the ACF, like you said, for managing the content fields, the custom fields of the blocks. And we reuse a lot of the internal components that we have developed. So you always end up using like the same set of core elements. So the modal slider. So we have a few components that get reused a lot. But in terms of tools, we don't usually use any third-party blocks, especially because most of our design is very custom and we pay great attention to it, since it's the first thing that the user sees when they visit the website. So we make a big effort to make sure we get that pixel perfect design and a design that is consistent across the website. So we make sure we can follow the vision of the designer as closely as possible. And that becomes a bit harder to do if you start with blocks that already have a predefined structure.
Well, I really appreciate the insights there. And I think it's really interesting to hear about y'all's overall approach of, you know, kind of building, as you put it, building products fundamentally for the marketers of the brands you serve, and getting a little insight into your thinking around the way you build these experiences and these products, frankly, was really, really interesting. That was super cool. Thank you for joining us today, Nuno.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. This was a pleasure.
And you as well, Elad.
Same here, David. Totally a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, if you'd like to learn more about what Nuno and Elad are up to, you can visit airfleet.co. Thanks everyone for listening to Press This, the WordPress Community Podcast on WMR. Again, this has been your host, David Vogelpohl. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine, and I love to bring the best of the community to you here every week on Press This.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.